CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. We are live on this Thursday morning. I've got to say, like, the comments section wakes up before anybody else. And not surprisingly, as soon as 6 o'clock struck, my lights went out. So that's just great. But luckily, we have backup plans, and you can hear the power supply going. Yeah. You know, well, the most useful thing is like when the power's on at 4 a.m. when everybody needs it so badly, and then at 6 when we do actually need it, then it goes off. So just great work. I mean, all around, I think Eskom are just so fantastic. I just love you guys.
Eskom does a great job, Gareth. They shut down the power.
Yeah.
So when you get back home at 5, 6, when you're supposed to cook,
right,
they shut it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it comes back around about midnight when everyone is awake.
Correct, because they realize, like, who needs to cook at midnight? That's why we won't use power then. That's why we'll save people a whole lot of power. Anyway, it's all good. And I just want to say the comment section wakes up early because Pihleng is saying here, for example, it's a countdown for me. How useless since you are late, wasting more of our time. The chat is clearly where the show is at. He also says, morning, everybody. Funny how we are always here first but never get paid for it. Sounds like a revolution is brewing. I mean,
yeah, it sounds like the comment section taking over Cliff Central.
Well, you're
comment,
welcome. I mean, guys,
central.
Listen, if you people in the comments section want to take over the show, I'd be thrilled. I'd be thrilled. I'd really do it.
Yeah. He'll just facilitate and take all the YouTube revenue.
Right. YouTube revenue is useless. Thank God we don't sell on that. Otherwise, we'd be, I mean, listen, YouTube is like an added on feature of what we do. Thank God, because if we were reliant on that income, we'd all be living in, in one shack together, all of us. It would be Bakabantu, Gareth, Simpiwe, Homolemo, Dory, Greg, Jane, Barrett. We'd all be stuck, you know. Can you imagine Lebang all of her children all in one shack?
Lebang and all her kids, I was going to say.
We'd all be in one shack together, and we'd barely be able to scrape together enough food and money to, you know, to burn a piece of driftwood we'd find somewhere after the floods. That would be our... Yeah,
no, we'd all pray to Rina, and Rina would throw us a couple of $10 just to buy electricity or something whenever Eskom decides to...
Not even.
To bless us.
She'd look at it and go, what a waste of time. I'm getting out of here. And who could blame her? So, all right, we've got things to do, people to see, places to go. Pumi this morning, because she realized load shedding was going to happen. She obviously plans ahead. Pumi's on her way to her office, where she'll be ready to join us in just a couple of seconds' time. She left there at she left her house at 5 a.m. to get to the office and to set things up, so she'll be with us momentarily. We'll get to her, and we'll get to the burning platform a little later on. We've also got some headlines for you. We've got Jen Su popping in, and Jen Su was at the Grammys. Yes, she was at the Grammys, and what a Grammys it was, because Vota Kellerman, who is a Grammy winner from 2015, was there to celebrate his third Grammy nomination for another song. We've had him on the show before, and in fact, I think he's a Facebook friend of mine. So I saw all the updates from his attendance at the Grammys, and I saw Jen there, and I thought, oh wow, this Jen Su is quite something. She really gets to all the events, and she knows people. She's very connected. So we'll check in with her. She'll also tell us about Black Coffee's win, about Trevor Noah hosting, a whole lot of other stuff too. So we got lots to talk about in the course of this next hour. And then, of course, the burning platform later on. So lots of things to get to. So lots of people. Gary says, commenters' lives matter. Very good. I couldn't agree more.
So Congo promoting himself there. Congo Chris
saying, we wake up early just to give you shit for starting late. Viva la comment section, viva Congo for president. This guy's on fire this morning. All right, very good. Our lights just went off, says Tracy. There goes my coffee. Thought Eskom wasn't supposed to switch the lights off between 6 and 8 a.m. Ah, please, you think so?
You can't trust them with your electricity. Why would you trust them with a spreadsheet or a schedule? Also, with the on and off, everything just blows. So. Yeah. It might be scheduled to come back, but in your specific neighborhood, because it hasn't been maintained for 18
right,
years,
then it's finished.
There is no...
Screwed. Yeah. Screwed. All right, so can I ask you this? I don't know anything about this. Maybe you can fill us in. Apparently, Steve Hoffmeyer is in deep shit with the Cancel Brigade. What has he done now?
Dude.
Because I'm not au fait with this stuff. What happened?
Yeah, so I'm from the Eastern Cape. So Steve Hofmeyr, that's my brand.
Okay.
I wish I knew a Steve Hofmeyr song now. I'd break into song, but no, sure. I don't. But this guy, he made comments about this whole teaching of LGBTQ+.
Oh, right. Okay.
So he commented specifically on the plus. He's like, the plus could mean even bestiality. So the gay community took offense. The Human Rights Commission took him to task. They are demanding half a mil, 501K for his comments that he made. He also made an apology, but people were like, oh, it's insincere. I'm like, of course it's insincere. I don't think he changes his comments. Steve Hofmeyr has been called a racist. Now you're calling him.
I don't think he cares. You're
calling him a homophobe.
He doesn't care. Plus,
he's an old man who made his money.
Plus, if you'll pardon me using the term plus, if I'm allowed to use it from LGBT plus, you can't even say 3+4 anymore without checking with the LGBT community whether you're allowed to use the plus sign in a normal maths equation. So, you know that there are a bunch of people, and by no means have I said, and am I going to jump in on this one and get involved? But there are a bunch of people in America, for example, who want to add those who are attracted to minors to that LGBT plus community. There is a group that is actively trying to petition to get involved there. They're like, well, we can't help it. We're attracted to children. You've got to include us in the LGBTQ plus community, right? So that's the kind of thing that I think a lot of people would say, hey, you know, we draw the line here. And whether or not those people are being let in or not, that's not the issue. And I know Steve is probably causing shit here on purpose because it's a big thing in America. So all he's doing, he's getting involved in things that the Americans are talking about that South Africa has no dog in the fight for. So I think it's stupid of him.
What, the no gay law in Florida? Don't say gay.
Well, you know what that is, really. You know what that is.
Yeah. Isn't it about teaching the context about in schools and whatnot?
Yeah, so it's for K through 5, which means grades 1 to 5. So like primary school, early primary school. I don't even think it's up to 5. I think it's up to 3. It's from pre-primary, nursery school, to like grade 3. They don't want you, as a teacher, being able to teach their kids about sexuality and sex and gender and all of that stuff, because I think it's fair to say, like, most parents would want to teach their kids that themselves and don't want some, because we had some terrible teachers at school. We had some great teachers, but we had some terrible ones. If my teachers had been the ones who taught me about like gender and sex and things, I think I would have been a bit screwed up. So I'm with that bill, and they've called it the Don't Say Gay Bill because it sounds, you know, like,
it sounds catchy.
Yeah, it also sounds like it's homophobia and that the schools aren't allowing kids to be gay if they're gay and all that stuff. Let me tell you something. If you're under age 8 or 9 and people are already teaching you about sexuality, gender, all of that stuff, I think maybe you're a bit young. And I say that as a non-parent. I also think that the responsibility to decide what kids learn about those sorts of things, values stuff, that falls squarely on the laps of the parents. It doesn't fall on the laps of teachers.
But again, it's more of for me, it's a thing about how parents view school, especially in South Africa, if we're bringing it back home. So when you go to school, it's, I'm done with my kid for 8 hours.
Yeah.
It's babysitting.
Yeah.
You don't care what they do. You just don't want them in your house.
It's state-sponsored babysitting. You're absolutely right.
Exactly. Yeah. So now is they don't want that responsibility. But now kids are coming back with all these different norms and like, oh, you don't know what the stuff we were taught in school. We were given the most racist rhetoric ever.
Oh, like, for sure. Hey, Pumelele, you made it to Pumi made it to the office. Thank God. How's it, Pums?
Yes. Dodging potholes
dark. Do you know, speaking of potholes, there was a pothole on the highway here the other day. There was a pothole. I got on it, I think it was Sunday afternoon or whatever, and there was a huge pothole in the middle lane of the highway, but big. And already there were about 3 cars on the side of the road changing their tires, and like it did some serious damage. The next day in the afternoon, it was still there. And there were cars again, new cars on the side of the road that had also had to replace their tires for a whole 24 hours.
You didn't know? You didn't know to SMS Anele so that she can DM
so
the
she can
minister
tweet Fikile.
So that
is that
so
what
she
happens?
Can DM the minister. So, did you not see that?
No, you see, I'm so out of it because I'm not on the social medias all the time. So tell me what happened with Anele.
So on her way to work, there was a huge pothole on Grayston.
Okay.
Was it Grayston? So yeah, and she tweeted that on my way to work, I just took out both my tires on this pothole.
Shit.
At Figile Mbalula, wara wara wara, complaining. And then he sent back a thing saying, DM me. And everyone was like, say what? And literally in the next day, she tweeted, oh, there's somebody here fixing the pothole. Well done, minister. It sent the Twitter sphere into a proper tailspin, saying, you just need to DM the minister to get
potholes
fixed.
If you're a celebrity, he'll respond, obviously. Otherwise, he won't.
I still say, Gareth, you're sleeping on your following. You should be DMing people about robots, about all these things.
Yeah, sure.
You should be DMing about Eskom. You could get that parliamentary status.
Yeah, sure.
Eskom.
Okay, I'll just hand over my account to you. You could spend all day trying to do that shit. You know, I never ran for office. That's the problem. And I don't want your vote. So if you want me to do that, then just take over my Twitter account and you can do it. I'm not interested in being a politician. Right?
Ghostwriter, my commander for Gareth.
All right. We got lots
tweeting
to get
on
to.
Tweeting on behalf of Gareth.
Yeah, exactly. We can have like a ghost
special
account.
Special advisor.
Right.
Yeah, special advisor.
Yeah. You actually changed. We changed the account name to on behalf of. And then, you know, Magabanchi takes over. All right, so...
But have you seen that stuff where people take over people's accounts, especially when they're dead? Isn't that weird?
What?
Oh, do
so
they
when
do
people
that?
Die and when people die, you either have the option of handing over to a family member and then they keep tweeting or keep Facebooking, in Gareth's case, about just chilling. This is Gareth's mom or Gareth's son. I don't know. But it's weird because you still see the person. I have a friend, Christelle Janssen. Her account is still up on Facebook. And she died
with
in
new
Matric.
Stuff.
Yeah.
With
new stuff. I think her mom is managing it. I don't know. But it's weird. It's like tweeting from the grave or Facebooking from the grave. It is not normal.
Well, I don't know. I think when someone dies, you got to shut their account down. You know, so my dog Carl had a Facebook page and an Instagram account and a Twitter account and
which
everything.
I followed Carl's.
So
Instagram.
I think Carl at one stage he had more followers than I did or something. But I mean, we've had to close it down because who wants to follow like a dead dog? You know, so that's finished. We got to shut that down, and those people must now find other things to follow. Isn't that's right? Mm. You can't keep it going and under false pretenses.
False pretenses.
So let's talk about KwaZulu-Natal because, wow, there's some absolutely horrible things going on down there. Buildings that have collapsed. The death toll is climbing. It's over 200 at the moment, and it looks like it's going to keep going up. So we're not just talking about property damage. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, those videos of all the flooding and houses being, you know, destroyed and businesses being destroyed and mudslides and everything else. That's all pretty awful, but there is an actual human death toll, and that's even more horrible. Upwards of 200, 250 people already. It's well on its way to being one of the worst disasters, natural disasters, in South African history, which is, I had no idea that the numbers were around there.
And this morning it's 306.
306, wow. It's pretty damn awful, isn't it? I mean, it's
pretty terrible. And weather forecasts, more rain this weekend, Easter weekend. The roads are destroyed. So even the food supply is diminished from the harbor. Bridges are falling apart. They're washing away. The impact alone, people will die from, not from the actual flooding. People will die from the impact and how we react to the impact of the floods and whatnot.
Sure.
Mudslides, kids being found, bodies being recovered, people missing.
Man.
The missing number is the one that is scary because There is no order. There's boots on the ground. Everyone is trying to help. Everyone is trying to survive.
Imagine,
I don't know.
Imagine you have a family member missing. Imagine if it's a child and your kid, so, your kid was there and suddenly during the flooding, they went missing. They were either swept away by a current or they got lost in the mess and the confusion. I mean, that must just
one of the News 24 stories that they put out yesterday was about a father who stood next to the body of their six-year-old son on the side of the road because there were no mortuary vans able to come collect. And
oh my God.
Put it in the back of the buggy, and how he put it on the back of the buggy and wouldn't let, you know, and went with the buggy with all these other dead bodies so that when they got to the police station, because apparently the space is running out in the mortuaries too, and how he kept looking after his son's body and how, he, you know, just like... And the words they used was, he looked like he was trying to make sure he's comfortable. You know?
That is absolutely horrendous.
It's so devastating. So devastating.
The stories are terrible. Terrible. And Cyril Ramaphosa was there on, like, boots on the ground. He was there giving a speech. But I don't know. I don't know. It needs a lot of intervention. It needs a lot of this country just working together and trying to fix it.
Thing is, like, Cyril's not even good at the performance stuff.
Yeah, you know, he's not. He's not even. That's what I was saying. Like, he didn't comfort me.
No, when Cyril,
he looked so awkward.
He's always
he
awkward.
Looked so and you know,
unless
awkward.
Unless he's like ANC and like hugging and singing and that kind of thing, where he looks like, you know, he's glad handing everyone around him. I constantly, if I close my eyes, I see a picture of Cyril going, hi, hey, how are you? How are you? Like trying to sort out all the factions in the ANC. But he's, other than that, he's so awkward. He's very uncomfortable in his own skin. He always looks like somebody who's like walked in on a disaster and now he has to pretend he cares, but he doesn't really.
That is exactly what he looked like when he was talking to... I saw a clip of him talking to some old man and... You can see his eyes roving, right?
It's like when Joe Biden was at that homecoming for all those dead soldiers in America, and the coffins are literally going past Joe Biden, and he looked at his watch, and people were like, "Jesus, dude! I mean, it's the one time you don't look at your watch, you stupid old man." And I get the same impression out of Cyril. He's like, he knows he should be there and he should be doing something, but he has no idea of how to comfort people. You know, this is where I hate performative politics. I hate it when a politician goes and hugs and cries, but you need that stuff at a time of disaster. You need to have a politician who makes you feel like they actually care about you.
And all of them are equally bad, you know? So he was there with Sihle Zikalala. And Sihle too, you know?
Yeah, I can't imagine he'd be like, better.
They all are just like hapless idiots.
Oh man!
There's this just before he gets to the interview that Mrs. Pumi is talking about. He has like a motorcade, so like six cars strong, and there's crowds and crowds of people. And then he didn't plow through them, but he just passed them. These are people that actually need help. I'm sure there's one person per car, blue light brigade. I'm like, guy, it's not a good look.
No, it's a terrible
look. Then you come out.
You know what you do then, and you've seen other politicians, they get this right. You put on a pair of gumboots, right? And you put on like worker clothes. You open up your collar.
You put on a
hard
hat.
You take off your tie. You roll up your sleeves and you go around and you hug people and you sit with them on rocks and paint drums and you talk to people. You just cut out all your other shit for that morning. And you're there from 6 a.m. until midday. And you're doing the right thing. You're just communicating with those people. And if the cameras are there, that's great. But if they're not there, you're doing it for those people anyway. You see,
this is where he puts on his walking tracksuit and shoes, right?
Not on the promenade in Cape Town.
And shows up, and you know, he's in his tracksuit, and he's.
And can I just say this? And it's come up in the comments as well. So I'm going to give everybody who's already said it in the comment section credit, because God knows our comment section is becoming very revolutionary. they're bubbling and boiling.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you must see, like, there's such shit going on there. Like there's people like Michael who's like, oh, thank God Pumi's here. And
oh yeah, there's the Pumi faction.
There's always there's a huge Pumi faction. There's huge bubbling under of all kinds of shit on the comments section. But I'll give you guys credit for this if you said it in the comments. It was so easy for them to declare a national state of disaster for a virus that wasn't even dangerous to young people in this country, and certainly was dangerous to a lot of people. We didn't know the full impact of it. But we kept that state of disaster in place for 2.5 years. But has he declared a state of disaster in KZN?
Has he
done it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
well, thank God for that. Has. Then I take it all back. And then the comment section, you better apologize to him too.
No, he declared it. He called it a disaster. He said officially, it is a state of need of disaster.
It has now been declared a state of disaster.
But speaking of COVID,
we wait in anticipation to see if they can do the right thing.
Okay. No, like just speaking on COVID, Gareth, you were talking about the hugs and like him being there supportive. He was there with his mask, with the COVID shoulder tech, like the elbow thing. I'm like, oh, dude. It looks so bad. It's so cold. And then he's there, like Usus Pumi is saying, looking around, couldn't care less. He couldn't wait to get out of there.
He probably couldn't. And listen, I mean, I would hate to be there as well. I would feel awkward and I'd probably be even worse than him at it. But we know in our heads, we all know what you should do in that situation. It's weird that he couldn't do it, especially because he's been in politics most of his life, you know. Anyway, I got to ask Pumi this because it used to be a thing, the Rand Easter show.
Right.
Now, the Rand show, I saw one of our clients. I'm sure you heard at some point last year, we did a couple of live reads for Tom's Art there in Marlborough. They're setting up a stand there. I saw it on their Instagram, you know. Otherwise, I wouldn't have even known that the Rand show was going on. But when we were kids, we used to, oh man, it was like an outing. There were the rides. It was a big thing to go to. It was quite a drive. I remember it was like quite a drive, and there were always lots and lots of people there. Huge parking area, lots of cars. You had to hold hands with the rest of your family, otherwise you'd get lost. But do you remember what a thing the Rand Easter show used to be? And they used to have ads on TV and everything.
Do you remember, I mean, in the heyday of Bob Mabena and Melanie Sands, like,
yes.
What was that Friday night thing that they had, that phone-in program? And they'd have this huge concert that would have every South African artist on, like, one of the Friday nights at the Rand show. And it would be this huge concert, and it would, like, have Mango Groove.
Yes. Right, because they were the biggest thing then.
And I was just wondering. Because I remember kind of like 2 years ago when everything was shut down that they did. I remember seeing a thing about them shutting down. And I wondered, is the Rand show coming back? Because then I thought, oh, they must just shut it down forever now. Does anybody still go there?
Well, this is
it. Do people still go?
So I reckon people are still going. Well, they would have shut it down because if it's not profitable, why would you carry on doing it? And the organizers are obviously in it for profit. I mean, it's not it's not run by NGOs.
So,
So it must still be going. But did you ever go to it, Bagabantu? You were obviously in the Eastern Cape. You don't even know what we're talking about.
That's what I said. I had to Google this. So I saw Sis Pubi was going to mention this. I was like, hey, what is this thing? What is this thing you speak of? But it sounded like a carnival. So it sounded fun. But I'm like, old people. Okay, no, I'm going to let the old people do the old people talk.
It's a lot better than the KK in car.
No, you can't. You can't say that.
In your neck of the woods, it would have been something similar to the car in car.
I've never been to the car in car, but I've heard that that's really fun.
No, guys, it's a jewel, as they say, from my neck of the woods.
It's a jewel.
Yeah, so it was like it was, you know, at its in its like full glory. People would come from Bloemfontein to come to the Rand show because it was that thing.
That's right. It was a big deal.
huge exhibitions. Remember, I told you guys this, that this is the reason I was so desperate to go to the Dubai 2020, because right. in my mind, it was like a worldwide version of the Rand Show. And so do you think I should take Kanego? Do you think it's on this year? When you were Googling it, was it on?
I reckon you're going to be our person who goes and checks, Pums. Like you've been to visit Liedor in the Free State, and I haven't been yet. You were in Pietermaritzburg during the riots last year. You get around, Pumi. We trust you. You're our person on the ground.
But don't put your kid through that. Like, just let him chill at home, watch TV. It's okay.
That's rubbish. No. You know that this is the other thing that I learned from my parents. You make kids do stuff.
Yeah.
They may not want to do it. They may not even appreciate it in the moment. They can roll their eyes. They can drag their feet. They can like sulk. But make kids do stuff.
I agree.
Guys, we have Gold Reef. We don't need rides.
You have to find listen, Pumi's under pressure like all parents. The Easter holidays are here. These kids need to be entertained.
Worst thing.
The kids go crazy if they don't have something to do, and then the parents feel like if they don't do something, there's so much pressure. Like, I'm not a good parent because my kid is sitting at home.
It's the worst thing. And we're now on holiday for a month till May.
Yeah.
Yesterday was the last day of term. Till May, guys.
It's a long time. It's a very long time.
It's a long time to be sitting on the couch.
Let us look at a couple of headlines for this morning and just see that we're on top of all the big stories, because I didn't know about the Anele thing with the potholes. I didn't know about the Steve Hofmeyr thing with cancel culture. I didn't know about. Clearly, I'm totally out of the loop here. And there are some very funny comments coming through of like the comment section doing all the work. So, you know what? Like I said, if you guys.
Gareth, why do you sound like you're giving into the revolution?
Because sometimes the revolution is
in the comments.
Yeah, but sometimes.
In the comment section.
You know,
revolution shall be streamed live.
If King Louis XVI had just started acquiescing to the revolution earlier, he would have kept his head on his shoulders. So I'm not going to make the same mistake as him. I'm not going to be an idiot. Anyway, Mapodima says. That's Cyril. He's never apologized for anything. We're shocked that we thought this way about him and the ANC. But he's always shocked. So, yeah, I'm with you. Anyway, Onkopotse says, I went there for the rides. Okay, yeah, I remember the rides. That was part of the reason we liked it as kids. Go for it. It used to be called the Grand Rand Show. Do you remember, Pumi?
Yes, I remember those ads.
Right.
It's the Grand Rand Show.
That's the one. That's it. It's all right. Okay, very good. All right, so here's some stories in the news that we need to know about. The Labour Court is to hear a case of more than 100 City of Joburg employees who are fighting to keep their jobs. So this involves the new mayor, Paul Palatse, who we've had on the show before. The Labour Court in Johannesburg will on Wednesday hear a case brought by 130 employees who are fighting to keep their jobs. They were informed their contracts were terminated after allegations of illegal conversions of their contracts from fixed to permanent employment. So the mayor just decided, fine, you're on your own, go. Now they're fighting to be kept. So I always think it's interesting when people fight to be kept when they've already been sacked, because it usually means that they think they're more useful to us than they are to us. Anyway, the mayor said that the issue was not political or labor, but was an issue of compliance with the law, which was flouted when the former mayoral committee adopted a report without the council's approval to convert the fixed-term contracts to political offices. So I think that we're going to have to wait and see what happens here. The courts will obviously decide if it is political or if it's a matter of simple contract. And obviously, if it's a matter of simple contract and they're on the right side of it, then they will be put back in the position they were in before this mayor took over.
But it's a prickly matter, Gareth, in the sense that these people, if they were illegally converted from from short term to fixed, this is, you don't want people to lose their jobs, but it's an illegal process.
Correct.
We don't want to pay these people extra to not do anything.
Correct.
And if the mayor judged it as if these people are just sitting around,
yeah,
and they JFK at deployment, because that's the one I kept on coming up, that they politically affiliated. So why don't I get rid of them? Cut the What is it? You cut the flub and then you keep the meat.
Correct. Yeah. So in a related matter, the former Minister of Health has been cleared of any...
Of course he has.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hold on, Pumi. You don't get all... like, you know, very strident this morning. Just hold on. Let me just tell the story. So, so Zweli Mkhize has been cleared of any wrongdoing in the Digital Vibes contract. The Ethics Committee has used the letter but not the spirit of the Code of Conduct, according to many. Because his son is a married adult, he's not a close family member. I'm going to read that again, okay?
His son.
The reason that Zweli Mkhize has been cleared. Listen carefully, everybody. I'm going to read that again.
Listen carefully now.
Listen properly, okay? Because the former minister's son is a married adult, he is not a close family member, as defined by Parliament's Code of Conduct. His son is not a close family member. Well, if that's true, let's kill one of them and see if the one cries.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, does Zweli Mkhize get family responsibility when the son dies?
Yeah.
I didn't see the headlines for this morning. So I don't know if you've got in the headlines, if you've got the SIU victory. Did you see that with the SIU?
Tell us.
So the SIU, on the same case of Digital Vibes, they applied in October or November last year to join, you know, because if you're going to make somebody part of the case, you've got to have an application to join them in as a respondent. But the two people and the two companies and the two people that are linked to, they now have 33 respondents on their case.
Right.
And wow, one of them is Dr. May Mkhize. And the other one is Dedani Mkhize. Dr. May Mkhize is Zweli Mkhize's wife.
Oh, but that's not close family either, I suppose.
So I wondered, and these news came out on the same day. The issue of him being cleared by the Ethics Committee and the statement by the SIU having been given the go-ahead to join these two additional companies to the matter. And I was just like,
That's not suspicious.
I wonder now. And what I wondered is whether the Ethics Committee may have jumped the gun. Should they not have waited for the SIU report to come out?
No.
And whatever, you know.
Let's
what I'm
remember
saying?
That the Ethics Committee is part of Parliament, which is political.
So you need to protect your boys.
That's right. It's political, so you got to protect your boys. So they don't care about whether or not there's wrongdoing here. Then, like, if he goes to jail, then maybe we will. Because all of us have got our hands in the cookie jar, too. And if we define close family member as being, like, maybe just your wife, then that means we can get away with all kinds of things by giving our children contracts and our nephews and nieces and cousins and uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters. As long as we don't give them to our spouses, then we're good. But what you're saying, Pumi, is that his wife is also involved as a respondent. So they're going to have to look at that as a separate issue now. Because if they've gone and they've made it clear, and by the way, how stupid do they think we are that your son is not a close family member? It's just unbelievable. It's so rotten. DK says, this is so rotten. The BS that they use as excuses, it's a disgrace. Chris T says, these fuckers in suits just make up the rules as they go. Yeah. This is interesting. Congo Chris, unrelated story, but still a useful one in the headlines. Amber Heard has accused Johnny Depp of sexually assaulting her with a liquor bottle during a 3-day blackout bender. This is on the first day of his defamation suit against her. Jesus.
That thing is wild. Your... That story is wild to me.
But the backlash against Amber, though, apparently she's lying.
She's lying.
And Johnny has proof.
Yeah, she is lying. And he's been called a woman abuser and a perpetrator of gender-based violence and all of that stuff. And his whole career has taken a huge, huge smack.
This thing, you know what is so wild about it for me? So when they got divorced, he paid her $7 million or something as part of his settlement, right?
Really, just to say, look, you crazy fucking bitch, shut up. There's $7 million. Just shut up. Just fucking close your mouth.
Get away from me.
Yeah, right.
And now he's suing her for $15 million. Wow. It's like he's trying to get his $7 million back, and then
plus some. Well, she's done him huge damage, so.
Mm. But anyway. This case is so wild. Every time I see or hear about it and read up about it, I'm just like, why are these people like this?
It's horrible.
Like the details of, I mean, sexually assaulted with a bottle. Jeez. Like what?
No, it's like she sat down with her people. Now, it may be true, right? It may be true. We don't know. We weren't there. But she sat down with her people and said, what are the worst things we could say about Johnny, even if they're not true? Oh, I know. Let's say that he sexually assaulted me with a bottle. That sounds pretty gross. Yeah, let's throw that in. Well, that's on the first day. That's on the first day of his case against her. She's coming in with all the guns blazing. So here's a story. As if KZN isn't dealing with enough, a number of crocodiles from Crocodile Creek Farm in Tongaat, north of Durban, are on the loose after being washed away by the KZN floods. Every time there's a flood in South Africa, whether it's in Limpopo, whether it's in the Western Cape, whether it's in the Eastern Cape or KwaZulu-Natal, these crocodile farms, and we've got lots of them all over the country, the crocs get into the water and they're like, whee! They go down the river.
They're water creatures.
Right. And then when they end up in places where they shouldn't be, people are like, oh, no. Now there are crocs in this neighborhood where there weren't crocs before. Because obviously, if you have a crocodile farm, you can put up fences and things, but the crocs use the water. So you're in big trouble if you have crocodiles in an enclosed space and this is how you're trying to keep them in. It's not going to work.
But I think they've caught some. I think they've since recaptured about six. I think it's six or nine of the 15.
Well, here's what
one crocodile is more than too many. Much. Yeah.
So, according to the Ezemvelo KZN Wildlife, they were informed 12 crocodiles were washed away during the floods. Seven have been recaptured, as Pumi said. We're currently looking for the outstanding five. But if you go into your garden this morning in KZN and you're already dealing with all the flood damage and everything else, now you
like need. You see deep water,
and you see this. I mean, listen, this crocodile's at the beach. Basically, it's on the rocks at the beach, just chilling.
It's at the beach, at the riverbank, at Tongaat. But you know, the people in KZN, the people in Durban already deal with snakes.
Yes, exactly.
Crocodiles is good.
No. A crocodile is big. It's fast in the water, but it's a little lumbering on land, right?
Right.
A snake, on the other hand, bagaland.
No, I'm scared of snakes, but a crocodile. Yo, they once took us to this crocodile farm in Adu Elephant Park, and they made us touch it. I was like, nah, it's fine. I don't need to touch it.
Dude, I'm not a fan. Hey, I'm with you.
I don't need to touch it. I can see people are touching it. I can see it's docile. I can see the mouth is closed, but I don't need to be anywhere near that.
I don't want to be in any place where a crocodile can turn around and change its mind about me.
But what Sispumi is saying is actually true about how crocs aren't as dangerous as we make them out to be. They just look dangerous.
Because are you joking? Limpopo, do you know how many people
in Limpopo, hippos kill more people than crocodiles?
Yeah, but you...
Also in the northern KwaZulu-Natal, kind of St. Lucia
but
side of
Pumi, we all know stories about the women who go down to the river to wash their clothes. And then they're busy washing their clothes. And then the croc comes and just pulls them in. And that's the last you see of them.
No, they come back as a sangom.
Oh my God. Yes, sis.
It's not the last you see of them. That they just that's
they part chosen.
Of their twasa ring. That's part of their twasa ring.
They were chosen, Gary. This Pumi is educating.
Well, did they come back with one less arm? Because that'll happen. So this is Listen. Funny. This is funny. Freedom Fighter says, so Dundee may have a crocodile after all these years. Crocodile Dundee. Nice. That's where the comment section delivers the value. So I'm not going to give you guys all the shit this morning. That deserves a round of applause. Very nice. This is amazing. Ruth says she went swimming in a large river tributary in Port Edward. Was exhilarating and scary as fuck last week. Love my cousins. They're such diehards. Yo. A friend of mine who lives in Port Edward, she's got a little stream that runs through her garden, right? It's a little stream.
Oh, wow.
It became a raging river this week. She sent us pictures.
No,
it's terrifying. Like, the first picture she sent is like, look, our stream is flowing really beautifully now. Like, literally 6 or 7 hours later, she's like, oh, my God, our stream is major. It's very, very scary. No.
Look at Tokozo's comment. Oh, my God.
What doesn't Tokozo say? I was once chased by a croc and a hippo on the same day. Growing up in northern KZN is an extreme sport. Yo, Tokozo, you're lucky to be alive, man.
Dude, you outrun a hippo.
Jesus.
Tokozo, we're so glad you made it here.
No, you're a true gem.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. I was going to ask Simpiwe if Simpiwe, if you can just load the pictures for Jen Su, because she's going to be joining us in a short while. And Jen sent us a bunch of pictures to just show off what she got up to at the Grammys.
I'm so excited to hear from her.
I know. And we haven't had Jen on for such a long time. It'll be great to see her. She's back out there. You know, when we started lockdown all over the world, Jen was one of the people who was really, she was very scared. She, you know, one of her kids has been recovering and on the mend from leukemia. Yeah. And no, proper. Like he had a big cancer scare when he was young. And she also was very worried about bringing it into the house. So she was like literally disinfecting stuff at the door and leaving it overnight and that kind of thing. So when we last spoke to her, it was in the midst of that panic, which, you know, at that stage, nobody knew what was going on. So we can't blame anybody for it. But what's happened since then is obviously everything's opened up. And Jen is a very social person. So for her to have been trapped indoors, she must be thrilled to be back out there. Mm. I think for a lot of people,
absolutely.
You know, it's really been very hard.
Like the world coming back to life is pretty great to see. Like
the Rand show that you were so rude about that you say only old people know about. Go to hell.
You know, I went to, while we wait for Jen Su, I went to a Freedom Seder on Tuesday night.
Oh, yeah?
I was invited to. Yeah. And just ahead of Pesach, but it was so strange to see how awkward everybody is now socially, right? So it was one of the first kind of very big outings that I've had with a room full of strangers, really.
Yeah.
Because I've only seen all the stuff that I've done in the past kind of year is with friends, you know, so close friends. But this was a room full of strangers. And it was so weird to see kind of like the before, where normally the kind of pre-cocktail thing is so jovial and everybody's like meeting new people, you know, rubbing shoulders. Now, it was a little awkward.
I went to one of those last Thursday there were probably about maybe 50, maybe even 60 people there. And it was so nice to see everybody just schmoozing and talking shit and having drinks and eating and kind of getting along and doing normal stuff. And I thought it was actually really, it was what Bakabantu said just now. Great seeing the freedom coming back. Great seeing people doing their thing again. I love it. More of that, please. Let's do some of that. By the way, any plans for the long weekend? We're not doing our show tomorrow, just in case you were wondering. We're not doing the show tomorrow or Monday because they're both holidays, and we know that a lot of people will be sleeping in. So I'm sorry if you were expecting us to be here tomorrow. We'll just leave the comment section on
the comment section. Just put up the comment section.
We'll just leave the comment section. You guys can take over tomorrow and Monday. But if you were wondering, we're not doing the show tomorrow or Monday. And I started off with an open weekend on Monday, and now I look at my weekend, and I've got a dinner on tonight. I've got something on tomorrow. Saturday, I've got a thing in the day and the night. Sunday, I've got a thing on for Easter. thank God, the only day that I have a gap for is Monday. So
no.
That's five different, no. I'm doing five things, Pumi, before Monday even. Are you not doing any of that?
I don't have the match fitness for that. I don't have the match fitness. I'm just going to get into it slowly, like the going out, the doing stuff at night, doing stuff with strangers.
You're going to get into it slowly like a crocodile.
Yeah, I don't have the match fitness. It's been like 2 years of not doing that stuff. And it's a big thing. Like, you have to get your mind psychologically ready for it.
Absolutely.
You have to be, because it's all like a performance as well. You've got to be up there. You know, when you arrive, you've got to be jovial. You've got to be chatty, but you mustn't be like small talky.
Right.
No
small talk. Right.
You're not in stride. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You're just out.
Right.
I didn't hear you mention church.
Church, no.
What about Gareth doesn't go to church.
I'm not the person to ask on this matter. Although, you know, when we were kids, my parents only ever really insisted that we'd go either to Easter or to Christmas, one of the two.
Christmas.
But they gave that up after about 3 or 4 years. So well, we still do for the kids. I know it's not a religious thing, but with the kids on Sunday, we do like a little Easter egg hunt, and so we kind of mark the day. But I wouldn't say that there's any religious element to it. And don't shoot the messenger. I'm not the parent. I'm not the one who decided about this. But I don't think I don't think we'll be doing anything particularly religious. Are you doing something, Bakabantu?
No. So I am not religious, much to my mom's dismay.
Yes.
So this week was Holy Week. So in the family group, it was just verses of the day.
Oh, nice.
So that was happening.
Yeah, good.
Not nice, Gareth. Not nice. Hated every moment of it. But yeah, so tomorrow's Good Friday. If I was back home, my mom would wake me up.
You heathen.
So coming from the Eastern Cape, my mom would wake me up on Sunday. We'd have church for most of the day. We'd come back to pickled fish.
All right. Let's get to the gorgeous and wonderful Jen Su. Hello, Jen. How are you?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Hello, Jen.
How are you?
It's so nice to see you.
So exciting to see you.
I know. Likewise. Oh my goodness.
So Jen, first of all, you look terrific. It's great to catch up with you again. I see how busy you've been lately. You obviously went to the Grammys, which we'll talk about in a moment or two, but you've been all over the place. You've been busy in Philadelphia, New York. I think you were in LA, you were in Florida. You've been all over the place.
Yes, it's been amazing. It's been a whirlwind. The Grammys was really a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I was very honored to be able to cover so many wonderful South Africans that represented this year at the Grammys.
So
everyone
great.
From Trevor Noah, Doja Cat, we had Black Coffee, and Voter Kellerman. I mean, it was really special.
It really was. We had a lot of South African representation, and you are now an official correspondent for the Sunday Times in South Africa, as well as being the TV entertainment commentator for Fox 29 in Philadelphia. So well done, Jen. You keep impressing all of us.
Thank you.
It's so great to see you. All right, so Jen, tell us about the Grammys. We all watched a little bit of it in terms of clips on the internet, or maybe we watched the whole show. So tell us what the highlights were for you.
I think the highlight really was seeing Black Coffee win the Grammy, and it was incredible to be in the front row. You know me.
Wow.
I don't sit in the back row. I'm in the front row.
Wow.
But it was incredible to watch that moment and, you know, to see Black Coffee and his firstborn son, Isona,
come
on the stage. And I think he was even shocked. He wasn't expecting that he was going to win the Grammy. He didn't even prepare an acceptance speech. And he got up there, and I think he was so humble. And he's always, you know, thinking about someone else, the other person. But I think that he is just incredibly grateful that, you know, he was the first South African to be nominated in this category of Best Dance and Electronic Music Album, and then to win as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a really incredibly pivotal moment for him. It was his first Grammys, and to be there to experience it with his son. And his son really went through a lot. I mean, he spent, you know, 7 years doing this album subconsciously. And he spent a long, long time with a lot of collaborations, including David Guetta, you know, Usher,
right.
Diplo, you know, Pharrell Williams, so many people. And his kids really, you know, had to sacrifice a lot with their father, you know, really traveling a lot and working so hard on the album. So he was really incredibly honored to share that moment with his son. I think that was a big moment. And I got to spend, you know, a fair amount of time with them, got to see them both nights that he played in Las Vegas, you know, talk to Isona at length. And it's pretty cool to see Isona is following in his dad's footsteps as well.
That's amazing. That is terrific. I mean, talent definitely runs in the family, right, Jen?
Exactly. And then to see Fouad Kellerman, I mean, he was incredible as well. Third-time Grammy nominee. He had won in 2015 for a collaboration that he did with Ricky Kej, Winds of Samsara. And this time, it was also a collaboration with American composer David Arkenstone on the New Age category for the album Pangea, about the supercontinent that broke up about 200 million years ago and really was a message of unity, of showing that in these divisive times, in these times of war, that we need to come together and love and show compassion and be there for each other. And it was really an honor for me to spend time on the red carpet with Votr and with Tulsi, his manager, and really watch them. You know, I also helped them a lot. I helped them get on to Access Hollywood,
sure.
Extra. We, you know, I had to actually be their publicist as well.
That's
I had to
cool.
hold the signs for Getty Images for them. Get this. Votr got in as Vogue magazine's best dressed. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, excellent.
African Naked Ape with Sheldon Kaufman. And he came out in this amazing, you know, suit and was picked. So, you know,
that's
I feel
terrific.
Like
I've actually got a. So I've got
everyone behind the scenes.
I've got a clip of you talking to Votr. Can I play that quickly and let everybody hear
Absolutely.
It? Yeah, take a listen to this, everybody. This is Jen and Votr Kellerman.
So we're here with Grammy Award winning flautist Votr Kellerman, and he is going to show us how to beatbox and play the flute at the same time.
Yeah, so this is little melody that goes like. So that's a melody.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can, while you play that melody, you can beatbox. So it goes.
Wow.
Oh my
god.
Sending love through the music, passion, and good and exciting energy.
That's so cool, Jen. Huh?
You know, I mean, when you see it, like, you really see it to believe it. It's just incredible. And he's such a warm, kind soul. And it was really exciting. I went with them to all these Grammy nominees parties. So we met all these international world and roots and different Grammy artists. And they all came up to Votr, you know, Votr, oh my God, I haven't seen you in so long. And they hugged him tight. And he was just thrilled to see them. And likewise, I really enjoyed the camaraderie of the Recording Academy.
It's amazing.
And I was very impressed.
But look at you at the Grammys. Can we just comment? I mean, Jen, you've always looked spectacular. I remember Jen used to do like 3 outfit changes in a night in South Africa. But here you look spectacular. And I think there's a little bit of an African influence going on there. Am I maybe reading too much into it?
So it is, actually. He is an African-American designer, Conrad Booker from Philadelphia.
Wow.
He's incredible. He designed this dress for me. And he's just, he's super talented. And, you know, I enjoyed it. I mean, the thing was, I really was there to help the other artists. So I was running around trying to get, you know, them interviews, taking photos, videos, you know, gathering stuff for Espresso, doing crossings. So when it was my turn to go up and actually take a red carpet photo, I literally had like 1 minute. And they're like, hurry up, man, hurry. I ran up there. And I'm like, I didn't even have my hands not even like totally like in position. I literally had like 2 seconds. They like snapped the camera. I don't even know if I got the shot or not, you know, with my cell phone. And then we were like running to the next section. And fortunately, at least one picture came out.
Well, I mean,
but 1 minute for one picture is
it's gorgeous. So great. And well done. I mean, well done. You always manage to get yourself in the front row. You always manage to get the exclusives. You get to talk to people who we all want to hear from. And it's just so great to connect with you. I wish we had a little bit more time this morning. We're kind of running out of that. But Jen, are you coming to visit South Africa anytime soon?
I hope so. I really do. I just, you know, worrying about what's happening with this new variant.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to heat up again. Philadelphia, where I live, they've just reinstated the indoor mask mandate.
Oh, really?
So I don't know, you know, with all of this fluctuation and things going, you know, in my former home in Shanghai, also my whole housing compound is locked down. So I'm afraid to travel overseas, quite honestly. I'm doing a lot within the U.S., but I'm afraid to go out at the moment. But I really hope to return to South Africa so much. I miss it. I miss you guys so much, and I can't wait.
Hmm. We hope to see you soon, and you really are terrific. You've got such a lovely energy. We love catching up with you. We miss you too. You've been a part of our family from the get-go. So we will talk to you again soon, I'm sure, and keep doing the great work that you're doing, Jen.
Thank you, Gara. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Cool. Lots of love. Cheers, Jen.
So wonderful.
Bye. Jen Sue, everybody, live from Philadelphia.
So wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's terrific.
I wish you could give me some of what she's on. Yo, she's amazing.
She's the best. No, listen, when it comes to this Hollywood stuff, Jen absolutely is the best. First of all, she knows what's happening in Hollywood. She knows all the people in Hollywood. She gets to the events. She's on top of these things. So if you're going to talk to anybody, it better be her. It's great. All right.
I want you to know that it's like 1 in the morning in Philadelphia.
I know.
You see her the way she is, it's like in the middle of the night.
Yeah. That's a good point, Pumi. If I could look that good at 1 in the morning, I'd also be in the front row.
More vampire facials, Gareth.
Oh, my God. I'll need 700,000 of those. Anyway, it is 7 o'clock. Yeah, Pum?
I'm just saying. I mean, it's like in the middle of the night and she's still so gracious and excited and, you know, love Jen Sue.
So good. All right. Anyway, we've got to move on. It is 7 o'clock. We've got the Burning Platform coming up next. Bakabantu, we'll check in with you next week. Good stuff. All right, everybody. Hang around for the Burning Platform with Pumi and I and some of our special guests. That is next. Don't go anywhere.
CliffCentral.com.